Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Why don't you open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're done with our announcements. We can get to the Word now. So would you please stand as you're doing that? Colossians 3. We're going to read a three-verse portion of Colossians chapter 3, which is where we're at in our Elevate series. And I tell you what, as we read this, you're going to notice this, that there is so much packed into these three verses. There probably could be 8 or 10 or more messages from these three verses if we really dug in to certain words and to teachings here. And we are going to do somewhat of an overview of these three verses, and I believe you're going to be encouraged. I believe you're going to be challenged as well walking out of here. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Lord, may your word go deep into our hearts. Enable me to share, Lord, what you put on me for today as we seek to receive from you that we might be empowered to live it out. In your name, amen. You can be seated. Think about this number, 911. 911. How many have ever dialed that number? Yeah, it probably brings back some bad memories. Nobody calls 911 when things are going great. Oh, this is 911 operator. How can I help you? Yeah, I just want to let you know that, later on today, I'm planning on having a big lunch and just kind of hang out with the family. It's going to be really cool. And just want to let you know that things are going well here in my house. Okay. Nobody does that. You call 911 when things are out of control, right? Life has gone off the rails. Something is so wrong. You're like, I can't fix this. I better call 911. And I have only had to call 911, to my knowledge, one time in my life. I'll save that story for another day. It's a really, really good one. But one time, 911 called me. Anybody ever had that happen? Ah, me and Bud. I thought I'd be the only one. All right. One time, 911 called me, and here's why. Because when our kids were really, really little, they were playing, and one of them grabbed one of our phones and dialed 911. And I don't even think they could talk yet. Maybe they could at that point. Dial 911. And so a little bit later, we get a call from 911. I'm like, oh, let's see how we can help out here. Okay. What do you need? No. They're like, hey, we just got a call from your house. 911, is everything okay? And I'm like, oh, I think so. I don't know where the kids are at. But other than that, you know, we're doing really well. And it was one of those calls where you're basically saying, I'm the worst parent of the year right here. Just tag me with that one and have a nice day. That type of thing. Everything's okay. I'm glad that they didn't send out the emergency crews, because we did not need them in that moment. Maybe some parenting advice, but not the emergency crews. You guys know, when you see someone that's part of an emergency crew, you know that that signifies an alert. It signifies that there's something going on. I mean, that fireman or woman hears that alarm, and I think what they do, I saw it on TV, they run and they go down the pole, down there, and they just like pop right into their fire-resistant boots. They put on the protective gear, the coat, all that stuff. They got their colored helmets. They got their respirators, their axe, all that stuff, and they run toward the problem. And when you see them running, especially if it's your house, you're like, okay, I'm just going to get out of the way. You show them respect, right? Like, you answer their questions, whatever they need, because they have training, they have skill, they also have bravery, they have courage to step into the smoke and step into the fire. When you see that uniform, it sends a message. They're going to help you. They're going to do everything that they can possible to help you. Now think about this. Think about a surgeon. A surgeon puts on the scrubs and the little cute hat and the latex gloves and all that stuff, and they step into the prep room or the surgical room or the post-op room, and when they step into one of those rooms, you, as a patient, you have somewhat of a sense of peace, because you're like, they have years and years of training in a certain area of expertise. They have honed their skills, and when you are in La La Land, they are going to do a work on your body, and they are going to do a great job. Now, imagine if you are prepped ready for surgery. You're laying on the table in that super nice and modest gown that they gave you. They stole all your clothing, right? And you're laying there just with this little thin gown, and you're hoping that they're going to take care of you. And in walks the surgeon. But instead of the surgeon wearing scrubs, she is wearing a firefighter uniform. I mean, she's got everything. She's got the boots. She's got all of the gear. She's got the respirator. She's got the hat on. She's holding an axe and a fire hose. Now, if you're like me, if you're in that surgical room, no, even though you have an immodest gown on, you're going to get up and run, right? Like, that person is not going to work on your body during that surgery. See, what you wear sends a very clear message. And when you don't wear the right things in the right moments, it sends a very confusing message. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle is speaking to us about the things that we need to take off if we're a believer in Jesus, we're a follower of Christ, and there are things that we need to put on as a follower of Jesus. Because what you wear sends a very, very clear message to the people that are around you. We're going to be in verse 12 starting out, and we began this actually last week where we talked about God giving us the clothes that we need to wear as a follower of Jesus, the spiritual clothes, the attitudes, and the characteristics. And last week we began with the first one, which was compassion. I hope you had some opportunities this week to put on the clothes of compassion and impact people around you. Compassion, as we said last week, is a heartfelt concern joined with a desire to do something about it. It's not just a feeling, oh, I felt compassion this week. No, it's deeper than that in the New Testament. It is that deep concern, but then it's that desire, I'm going to follow through. Am I actually going to make a difference? Just a few evenings ago, our hospital here in town called our CCC emergency phone. And on that particular evening, one of our deacons, Rocky Maldonado, had the phone. He took the call and discovered that there was a man in the emergency room who was really struggling, life-threatening illnesses, and he was very scared because he didn't know what would happen when he died. And he wanted to talk to someone. And so we got the call. I say we, meaning our emergency phone. Rocky did this. He didn't ask, he didn't say, hey, can someone else go and do this? Rocky drops what he's doing that evening with his family, and he immediately heads all the way over to the emergency room and spends an hour with this man and his wife. And through that hour, he was able to speak to them about the Word of God, speak to them about the Lord, and he was able to lead them and them reaffirming their faith in Jesus Christ. When he left, this couple was in tears because they had a new sense of God's love. I'm really thankful for Rocky putting on the clothes of compassion. It's a heartfelt desire joined with a desire, I'm going to do something about it. Whatever I can do, God, I want to do what I can. The second one that we see in this list of the clothing that we need to put on is kindness. It's kindness. It's desiring good for someone else. Now, we all, if we had a show of hands, would say we're all unanimous. We all want good for ourselves, right? Like, God, help me. Keep me safe. Provide for me. Help me to have a great day. Like, we want good for us. Kindness is saying, no, I want good for others. I'm going to look out for others. Like that other person at work. I hope things go well for them. I hope they get a promotion at some point. The family member, the neighbor, whatever. I hope they are doing well. I want to do what I can to help them because I desire good for them. I'm looking out for them. Former President George H.W. Bush recounted the kindness of Ronald Reagan. He said in 1981, Reagan was recovering from a surgery for the repair of a gunshot wound that he had received during an assassination attempt. And just days after that surgery that repaired his life-threatening injury, his aides discovered President Ronald Reagan on his hands and knees in his hospital room. Bush said of Reagan, and I quote, "He worried that his nurse would get in trouble." See, that's kindness. It's desiring good for someone else. And I think that example really ties into the next one Paul listed, and that is humility. Humility. Humility is having an accurate view of yourself. This is tough. And I'll tell you why. Because often we have the tendency to look side to side to determine how we view ourselves. Don't we? What does that person have? Oh, I don't have that. Oh, I have more than this person. What giftings does this person have? I don't have that. Well, I have more than this person. And we have a tendency to look here and to look there. And what happens is there are feelings then that come up that make us feel like we are less than, and then other times we feel like we're more than. That is not humility. That's insecurity. It's pride, et cetera, et cetera. Humility is having an accurate view of yourself, and you will not have an accurate view of yourself if you look side to side. You only get an accurate view of yourself if you look up. And you begin to see yourself as God sees you. You begin to see that He's God, you're not. You begin to see He's on the throne, hopefully you're not. You begin to see that you are not the greatest thing to ever grace this earth, all right? Even if your mom tells you that, not true. You're not the greatest thing to ever grace the earth, but on the other hand, you are worth so much that God sent His Son to die for you. Humility is having an accurate view of yourself. You're seeing yourself through God's lenses, and it brings not just humility, but from humility, then that brings confidence. You're not comparing, you're hearing what God is saying about you. Humility. The next part of the clothing we need to put on is this. It's meekness. Now, this is a word we don't use a whole lot, but it's giving in to others. And I'm not talking about an area of morality, you're giving in to others. No. That's compromise. Talking about giving in to others when it comes to opinions and desires. It's that, you know, I don't have to win this argument. I don't have to appear to be right all the time. Not everyone has to hear my opinion. I think you would agree that loud opinions are dividing our country right now. Meekness is saying, you know what, I might have an opinion about this, but I don't necessarily have to tell everybody. And if someone has a different opinion than me, that's okay. Meekness is taking the high road, which often is the quiet road. It's meekness. Fifth one is patience. That's a refusal to retaliate. I don't know how you're doing so far as you're in your checklist. Yeah, I'm pretty humble. We get to this one, patience. Ever had your patience run thin? If that person says one more thing, right? If that kid won't be quiet, I don't know what I'm going to do. Patience can run thin. But patience is that refusal to retaliate. In those moments that refuse, like, no, I'm not gonna just blow up at that person. Some of you might even have it on your calendar today, like, okay, 1 p.m., I'm going to have a late lunch. 2 p.m., I'm gonna send that nasty email. 3 p.m., you know what I'm saying? We sometimes, okay, let's just be honest, sometimes doesn't it feel good to give someone a piece of your mind? Doesn't it feel good sometimes just to get on social media and there's someone has said something and you're like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I want to comment so bad. Your fingers are on fire. You're like, oh, just let me. I told the board in our board meeting, I think it was last week, that there have been some times during these last few months where I've had this thought going through my head, just like, hey, I should post something, like, you know, I've been pretty quiet on opinions and all that stuff, but post something to be like, okay, if I wasn't the pastor, I would probably say something like this, but I'm not going to because I'm the pastor. Patience, it's a refusal to retaliate. And Paul lists these clothes that we are to put on. Compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, and then adds to it in verse 13 that we are to bear with one another, put up with one another, persevere for one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Now, I don't know about you, but these pieces of clothing, of spiritual clothes that we are to put on, is easier to talk about than it is to actually live out. I mean, to put these on each and every day, no matter the situation, no matter the tension, no matter what's going on, to continue to put on humility and compassion and kindness and meekness, it can be difficult. One of our missionaries by the name of Dick Brogdon wrote about the three martyrdoms in church history. The first one is the red martyrdom, and that's an obvious one to all of us. That is someone who is shedding their blood. They're willingly laying down their life for the cause of Christ, for the name of Jesus. And that's happening all over our world. There's the red martyrdom, and then in church history, he wrote of the white martyrdom. White martyrdom is depicting those who have set off to sail into the white skies of the morning, leaving family and friends behind, maybe never to see them again because God's called them to go to this place or to that place, the white martyrdom. And then he wrote about the third martyrdom, which is the green martyrdom. And this martyrdom was one that throughout church history, missionaries have talked about being the hardest. The green martyrdom is that challenge of setting aside our own will and desire and opinions and ambitions in order to keep unity and peace with others. And according to Dick Brogdon, in church history, the green martyrdom has actually been the most difficult. I think a lot of us could agree with that. You see, what we wear sends a really clear message. But sadly, there are times when I, and maybe you, have not put on the right spiritual clothes as you headed out to your day, as you headed into that meeting, as you headed into that conversation. If you're like me, there have been times when I haven't been properly attired. I haven't put on those spiritual clothes. Jump in the car, go to this meeting, go to this or go to that, without having gone to the spiritual closet and put on compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience. So how do we do that? It's easier said than done. So how can we do it? Here's what we see in this text. In verse number 12, Paul gives us something here that is really the revelation of how we can consistently put on, as the followers of Jesus, the spiritual clothes that we need in order to impact our world. Look at this in verse 12. He begins, "Put on then as God's chosen, as God's holy ones. Put on then as God's beloved." And what we see right here is that you are not going to put on those clothes of compassion and kindness by just trying harder or by just committing to doing better. You're going to stumble. I'm going to stumble if our confidence is in just our extra effort. No. What Paul is saying here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that it is by knowing the revelation of who you are in Christ, if you've placed your faith in him, that you are his chosen ones and holy ones and beloved ones, chosen. I mean, we all know what it feels like to be chosen for something, and we probably all have had the feeling of what it's like to not be chosen for something. Some of us might even have memories going back to recess and not being chosen for that team or being picked last. That's the worst, right? And what God's word says is that he has chosen us, the church, before the foundation of the world. Wow. It literally means here this word, out, I say. We are in darkness. And God says, out, I say, choosing us. You see, that right there is revelation that as we get up in the morning, as we go to that meeting, whatever, that I have been chosen by God. God reveals this in his word. It's not just try harder, do better, put on the clothes of compassion. It's no, as God's chosen, since you are chosen by God, he's already done this, now put on the clothes that impact your world. Holy ones. I mean, what a revelation to know that when you place your faith in Jesus, God now sees you differently. Others might not see you differently right then in that moment. God sees you differently. You have been made holy. Colossians chapter 1 says that we were once enemies of God. We were once alienated from God. But then through Christ, he reconciled us to himself and presents us to himself as holy, as without blemish, and free from accusation. That's how God sees you if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and surrendered your life to him. He sees you as holy. He sees you as holy. Wow. It refers to a point in time. that point of salvation, a point in time where you're holy, but also refers to a process over time that you are becoming holy. As you continue to seek him, he's working things out and working things in. He's doing a work in you. And we see that Paul says that we are beloved. Is there any greater revelation than that? That you and I are loved by God. None of us are worthy of God loving us. Not even a little cute baby is worthy of God's love. They've been born into sin. But yet God so loved us. So loved us. See, what you wear sends a really clear message. What you wear is determined by whose you are. And our challenge as believers is to choose to put on the clothing that matches who we are. Because God, as I like to say, has already done the heavy lifting. He's already done this. As we've placed our faith in him, he has made us his chosen, holy, and beloved ones. He's done it. He's done the work. And then calls us to then go to the closet and to pick out the clothes that reflect who we are. I mean, think about this. When you get up tomorrow morning and you go to your closet to pick out what you're going to wear, you're going to look at your clothes and then you're going to make a decision. You're like, oh, yeah, I'll take that, and that matches with this, and that, okay, I'm going to wear that. Unless you're 3 or 103, you are probably picking out your own outfit, right? I mean, I doubt anybody else is like, you're going to wear that today, and I don't want to hear anything about it. But probably not. You're picking out what you're going to wear. It's a choice. There's some husbands that just looked at their wives and like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. I'm allowed to choose. Man, tomorrow's going to be a new day for you. You choose what you're going to wear. As a follower of Jesus Christ, when you get up in the morning, when you go through your day, when you get ready to step into that meeting, you choose what you're going to wear. You choose the outfit. You're going to put on some, I think I'm going to put on some angry pants right now. A jerk shirt. I mean, you choose. That scarf of gossip, that lion and swearing hat, you choose to put those on. It's not like God is saying, Satan is putting those things on you. Come on. You go to your closet, you choose what you're going to wear. You are now a follower of Jesus. You're holy, chosen, and beloved. And you have this arrangement in your closet, your spiritual closet, of these things that you can pull out. Compassion, kindness, I'm going to put on some of that. Some humility, I need some of that. You choose. Satan is not putting those other things on you. You're choosing as a follower of Jesus. And on the other hand, God is not forcing you and will not force you to put on the coat of compassion this week. He's not going to. Some are like, well, God, make me compassionate. Make me kind. God, make kind words come out of my mouth. And you're just like, I'm just waiting for them to come out. That's not how it works. God has done the heavy lifting. He's made you holy, chosen, beloved in his sight. If you place your faith in him, you know how the power of God, God is doing a work in you and through you that is just incredible. And you are given the choice as a human being to choose in your closet what you're going to wear. You are holy, so why don't you put on some holy clothes? You are chosen, why don't you put on some clothes that match that you're chosen? You're loved by God, put on some love clothes then. Does that make sense? Recently, I was in one of the rooms of our home, and I looked in a closet. And it wasn't like a real big closet, but I noticed as I looked in this closet, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, could you fit one more shirt in this closet? I submit you can't. It was packed full of clothing. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I had this thought. It must be so hard for this person to choose what they're going to wear each day because there are so many choices. If there was one shirt in that closet, guys, if there was one shirt in that closet, wouldn't that be easy? Boy, I wonder what I'm going to wear today. This looks nice. Think about it. The more choices you have, the harder it is to choose. And as I thought about that, as I looked in the closet, I connected that then with this message and had this thought. It's like, I think that as believers, and I'm guilty of this at times as well, that we have too many clothes in the closet. We still have too many options in the closet. we still have some remnants of anger, some remnants of unkindness. We have some remnants of impatience that we could easily throughout the day go to our spiritual closet and pull those out. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll wear some of that right now. That person may be mad. Putting that on. We have so many choices. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, what we need to do is take those things out, those angry pants and all of those things, get those all out, and instead of just like, oh, I'll put those in a box for later, we need to burn those. Like, get rid of them. Don't give them away to somebody else. Don't bless them with that. Burn them. Let's get rid of them. Let's not pass them down to our kids. Let's burn them. Let's get rid of them. And then when we go to our closet, it's like, oh, I only have 6 choices. I think I'll wear them all. Compassion and kindness and humility and patience and meekness and forgiveness. I think I'll just wear all that. I'll tell you what, it matches extremely well. It's in style, and it makes a difference. What we wear sends a very clear message. And the message that we want to send to this world that we are in right now is that we are a follower of Jesus Christ, that he has come into our life and changed our life, that his power is so great that it could even impact your life. We want to represent Jesus. We want to be an ambassador for Jesus. That's the message that we want to send to our kids. We want to send to our families and our community and all that. What we wear sends a very clear message. The question is, what message do we want to send? In the Message paraphrase, our text reads like this. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. The last part of this section speaks of love. And verse 14 in our text from the ESV says this, and above all these, put on love. Meaning above compassion and above kindness and patience and all these, above all of these, put on love. Love is like this umbrella that's over those, or you could say it is the foundation that is under all of them. You see, if you don't have love, true love for a person, then you're probably not going to be able to show them compassion consistently or kindness or patience. That makes sense. It originates with love. It originates with love. My son and I recently have been watching some of the NBA playoffs, and we've really been enjoying that. And we know that on the backs of the players, on their jerseys, they have different statements that they're wanting to make about racial equality and social justice. And one of the statements really stood out to me as a player turned and I saw it, and it just said simply this, love us. And when I saw that, it caught my eye, because isn't that the craving of every human being on planet Earth, is to be loved? Can we boil it down? Every single person wants to be loved. It is a craving that we have that ultimately cannot be completely filled unless we experience God's love. We were created to connect with God's love. We were created to be pursued by this God who loves us so much. And the love that Paul refers to here is not a selfish love. It's not a romantic love. It's not even what would be called in the Bible at times brotherly love. It is agape. It's this high level, highest level love, no strings attached, sacrificial, unconditional. It's that love. And what we are challenged to do in this text is to actually each day put on that love, that unconditional, no strings attached love that everyone in this world is craving. Our family members are craving it from us. People around us, community, at work, they're craving a God-level love. A God-level love. A love that is beyond anything that we could ever come up with on our own. Here's the deal. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you place your faith in him, you are capable in Christ, not in yourself, but in Christ, to actually display that kind of love to others. Even people who have hurt you, even people who annoy you, even people who are different than you. If you are a follower of Jesus, God has done a work and is doing a work in you, and you become capable in Christ to share that kind of love. And that is exactly what this world needs right now. This world needs love. A God love that is revealed through Jesus and through the people of Jesus, the people of God. Who will roll up our sleeves, get engaged with people, and love them. No strings attached, unconditional, sacrificial, God-like, God-level love. It's the love that he has for you as he calls you his holy, chosen, and beloved ones. Whew. Do you see yourself like that? I'm talking about those who have placed their faith in Jesus. Do you see yourself as holy? Do you see yourself as holy before God? Do you see yourself as chosen? Do you see yourself as loved by him? See, if you don't grab hold of that revelation, you're going to have trouble treating people the way that we need to treat them. If you show me a person who mistreats someone or speaks bad about someone, I will show you someone who doesn't deep down like themselves. You see, when you receive the value that God lavishes on you, then you're able to give value to the people that are around you. When you see that I've been created in the image of God, then you see that, well, everybody else has been created in the image of God too. It enables us and empowers us to open up the spiritual closet and to pull out some of these clothes that we need to put on, be properly attired as we go through the day. The compassion, the love, the kindness, the humility, the patience that we need in order to send this world a very clear message. And it's Jesus. Clear message. It's Jesus. It's all about him. He loves you, and he wants to change your life.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.